other job, five. Well, we don't have to go anywhere. Just talk. Let's talk.
Call me, we'll talk.
There's a phenomenon that occurs in all men, and that it's just become extremely disastrous to us. There's a reporter here for a national organization. Some of you met her, Kelly Sutherland. And Rick was in my office when I was making contact with her, and she was supposed to have checked into the Stoneleaf Hotel, and I couldn't find her, and we couldn't make contact, and people from her office were calling her here, and we thought she was lost. And this was all going on, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's her. And I say, Kelly, where are you? And Rick said, no, where? And she says, I'm at the mansion. And I said, the mansion? You know, because I mean, she then proceeded to tell me how her corporation had some kind of a trade agreement, and they stay at the mansion when they're in Dallas. So Rick goes, you know, Rick, who is she? What's she doing? What's she want? And I wouldn't tell him anything. So then, last night in Banana, she's here. And he puts on this persona of being, trying to be important. Oh yeah, I was in Ollie's office when, and there's no secrecy required for her being here. And so Rick does his dance. Tries to gain identity from association. A couple other people had done a similar dance a little earlier. We won't mention any names. But the bottom line is they probably blew something that was something we wanted for ages, a lifetime. And it was over the idea of being in somebody's name. Jesus said in the book of John, he said in the same section where he said, you search the scriptures, friend, they. He said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. You come in another name and everybody receives you. And I started thinking about what the hell it means to be in the name of. And I knew that this thing here had some big, huge connection with it. And I remember Harry. This is the second time Harry's. Harry's a putz, fundamentally. There's nothing more dangerous than a putz with power.
Putz with power.
Well, we don't have to worry about that.
Power putz. Harry used to be somebody. And he would go into a particular town or someplace and he'd show him his card and says, Harry Getzloff, Coca-Cola marketing. And people would pay attention to him and he could get things done. And he thought because he was Harry, he was able to get all these things done, and he was efficient, he was good, and he was successful. Well, then he left Coca-Cola and became Dr. Pepper, sort of the same thing. He'd go do stuff, and he'd get things done, and he was reasonably successful. People paid attention to him. Then all of a sudden, they began Brimstone Films. And Harry'd show, I'm Harry Getzloff from Brimstone Films, and they'd say, say what? And slowly but surely, then Harry would have to develop this dance, this persona, to compensate for not being with Coke anymore. And so it was a great, grand, high-place dance of elevating self in order to accomplish something. Because he no longer had the name of Coke behind him. Well, then he became a Levite. Now he has nothing. So he gets nothing done. Everything's disastrous. He's totally frustrated. There's no life. Everything is totally dead. And I finally, we talked about this. And I said, Harry, did you ever stop to think that the only reason you thought you got something done in those past years was never you at all? It's because you were in the name of Coke? And you had the backing of the Coca-Cola Corporation and all their purchases to that particular place you're going? And if you... You know, if it was implied that if they didn't satisfy you, they would lose all this money, da-di-da-di-da. And now you're in nothing. You have nobody. I'm here in the name of Trinity. Right.
I know Oli.
I know Oli. Right.
Oli who?
But he's a perfect example of what this scripture says, that you come in the name of yourself or somebody else, and you and men receive you, or you receive men. And so it caused me to think about what it means to be in the name of. When Christ said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not, what does it mean to come in his Father's name? Well, fundamentally what it meant to come in his Father's name was he came hidden. You hear that? Fundamentally what it meant to come in the name of the Father was he came hidden. It wasn't broadcast. Well, that's a rough one. Because not being broadcast, it causes you to have to abide. And it may take a long, long time before anything is done, before anything is accomplished. Where, if you're used to coming in some name, you know, if you're used to coming in the name of the U.S. Olympic Committee, even in the name of Magna Hall, even in the name of the Baptist Standard, and all of a sudden you're faced with coming in the name of Christ or in the name of the Father, it has to be silent.
Or people just don't hear it because it's spiritual, right?
Well, it's
yeah, like you
I know.
Speak of the world and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or even in like an ideological name, like a segment of society, or you know.
Well, we're doing it now. We are out. Do all of you know that we're doing this crazy party?
Yeah.
We are putting together, planning, decorating all aspects of this party for Tyros, really for Tyros, and Tyros doing it to assist one of their directors, which is, he's on the board of directors of the Leukemia Society. Make long story short, we have ended up having to real quickly put together this wild party for the Leukemia Society. Tara and I met with the board of directors yesterday. But even coming in the name of the Leukemia Society, when you talk to people, then you have some strength, you have some stroke, so you get some things done in the name of.
Miss Anthony said yes before we asked.
Yeah.
Good.
But what do you do when you come in the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus is something totally different than what we've thought the name of Jesus was. It's more than making the name of Jesus some mystical mantra that you repeat over and over to get your desires and get what you want. Let's look and see what he said. John 5. Is this making sense to anybody?
Yeah, Harry and I were talking about that earlier, and it's like the guy that I talked to on the phone this morning, you know, he wanted to, you know, like he was asking what Trinity Foundation was. I mean, who are we associated with? Are we an evangelical group? Are we, you know, charismatic? Are we, you know, I mean, it's like he wanted to know what name we were coming in other than, you know.
Do all of you, by the way,
we're believers,
to determine whether or not we can be abused.
And we are going to move to that in a minute. Do you remember all the stuff that we studied about in these sort of secondary feasts, like the Hanukkah candles? They can't be used for anything. You know, you can't use them for light to read by. Mm-hmm. You can't use them to even light another candle. You can't use them for cooking. Nothing about the sun can be used for any other purpose. So guess what? That's part of the component of coming in the name of. If you come in the name of the Father, it can't be useful. Well, that's really scary. What the hell does that do? See, if you come in the name of the Father and it can't be useful, then by definition, Babylon can't stand. What you'll do, Babylon cannot exist in that environment. It's real important stuff.
Say again, Babylon can't. Babylon can't
exist. Babylon cannot exist in the name of a God that isn't useful.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a lost concept outside of the body to go anywhere in the name of God, and unless you just are there. You don't just dream up a scheme and then
people
go
come in the name of Jesus all the time.
I know, but they're not really. That's the point.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're
in the name.
It's not a lost concept because people call on the name of God, you know, and I mean, it's
But where do you go in the name of God? Except wherever you are. I mean, unless you understand this. We don't go try and...
Well, but no, evangelists run around and do it. They run around and say, in the name of God, they try to set something up. But again, it always has to have an addendum to it. It's not enough to be in the name of God, even in Babylon. You'd have to have a name of a God. You have to be in the name of God and some accepted basis. I mean, some accepted... earthly organization. To be in the, I mean, that's why, do all of you know what, when the word, I don't think I've ever told all of you, I think I scared you. I thought I would scare you, but I think I can tell you. Do you know why we're called Trinity Foundation?
Because it was a...
Trinity River.
No.
No, it was some
atomic test site.
Astrological thing going on.
No, it had something to do with the atomic
Oh, yeah, that's
what. Yeah, it was the name of the first place where the first atomic bomb was set off, the Trinity Flats.
Yeah, you said
that. But I didn't say it. Still.
You said it bigger.
I did?
Trinity said it better.
But the point of it is nobody knew what that name meant for years. Nobody knew why I named it Trinity. They thought it was because of the Trinity River, or because of the Trinity, or because of some other weird thing.
Well, go ahead and tell us why you named that. I mean, that's not just because it was that place, but because of the atomic energy
No, because I had been around so much. I'd been at 16 tests where an atomic bomb had gone off in the atmosphere. I've been many more tests where they went underground. And I saw over and over and over what happened in an atomic bomb. And I knew that that's what we had to be, intuitively. That we had to have that same effect on the world as an atomic bomb does. Later on, when I began to see that we were Bible studies, and, you know, you've heard me say 100 times that you have to pull out, you have to remove like a nanosecond of time when you're in Bible study, and that cause, that's when you remove the time, in essence, you're creating fission.
Yeah. It's like rods.
So, John 5. Let's start in verse 39 to see the whole segment. Search the scriptures. Again, remember we've talked about this many years ago. The best translation says the following. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. But they are they which testify only of me, and you will not come unto me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote only of me, is what it says. I've never really seen the strength of this section before. Had you believe Moses, you would have believed me. But if you believe not his writings, how should you believe my words? But the thing that I want to talk about is, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another? Now, the word honor there could easily be seen conceptually. You view each other from a utilitarian standpoint. That's the reason that men have names, so they will know how to use it, how they use it. That's why the first question that people ask you is, what do you do? And if you do something that doesn't either pique their interest or do something that isn't useful to them, most of the time they will dismiss you. Now, almost everybody at one time or another came to us, came here to Trinity because they thought there was something here that they could get that would be useful to them. And all of a sudden, over time, you find, my God, there's nothing here. There's nothing useful. But there's something else. There's expression. There's life. That's why we've talked so often before about the two types of relationships are either expressive or utilitarian. Unfortunately, we just went through this with Steve and Ed. They were looking at each other from a utilitarian basis, and there was just nothing. We must see as be expressive. So expressive says there's nothing that I can benefit from you, and there's nothing you can benefit from me. That's why it says when you have a feast or a party, don't invite people who can invite you back. Yeah. Invite the poor, the maimed, the naked, the hungry. In other words, don't invite anyone in whose name you will be tempted to utilize. Don't invite anyone that has a name. And the ones that don't have a name are the ones that are really in my Father's name, if you read the scriptures. It's only the poor and the needy that are really in the will of the Father. To be in the name of Christ, whatsoever you shall ask in my name shall be done for you by my Father which is heaven. In heaven, can you see? The name now is taking on a whole new dimension. We've had our senses exercised to discern soul from spirit. We've had our senses exercised to discern utilitarianness from expressiveness. We've had our senses exercised to discern what the name of Jesus means. We haven't yet crystallized it, but we know. We know, we certainly know what the name of Jesus isn't. Because we know what it isn't, we know what it is. Now, let's ask in that name. Whatsoever you ask in that name shall be done for you. Whatsoever you say the implication in that name is already accomplished. But let's dispel, let's destroy in each other, in each Bible study, whatever remnant is left of needing the name of some external thing that you can feed off of for identity. It's a good thing that Rick wasn't around today. For the most part. I mean, at least he wasn't around until I had time enough to
get back into the Father's name.
Get back in the name of the Father. Can you see how the world is missed? Can you see how the religious world is missed with the name of the Father is? But the reason we can so easily recognize how the religious world has missed what the way of the Father, the name of the Father, is because we know we've missed it in our minds and we can see it. But our hearts, hear. If the ears are circumcised, then we can begin to hear. If we don't need the honor of men, then we can begin to hear. Why do you not hear? Because you don't have ears to hear. Why do you not hear? I mean, Harry's got the footage from that religious town hall there, the Paige Patterson, Jordan Offshire, kind of, you know, all these all the religious pulp guys.
They didn't hear anything I said. So I was, a couple of times I heard for a moment, like the Jew guy heard that there couldn't be Judaism without a temple. And he just got this sick look on his face, and then he didn't hear anymore. But how can they hear? You can't hear if you, what? How can you believe, or how can you hear, which receive honor one of another? Let's watch. You want to watch those?
No, you don't. If I can lift them or something, it's just maybe 90 minutes of boredom.
No, just
in the middle would be like 30 seconds of you.
Okay.
You would.
Okay. Or you.
But
you,
I can do something with them that we can show.
Okay. Now, we need to search our hearts to see if we require honor one of another. If you require honor one of another, then you can't hear. And if you can't hear, you can't believe. No matter what the words say, no matter what the activity is. What does it mean? What's this mystery of being in the name of Jesus? In the name of the Father. If you name the Jesus, you have to name the Father.
I had an example of this today. I had a job where I'm having to hurry to get the floor finished, and I had six Mexicans over there. Just accidentally happened that way, and I knew most of them. Well, I knew all but one.
And they're all working for you?
And they're all working for me. And the one was a new guy who was just kind of tagging along, and this whole idea was real clear to me while it was happening, and so it kind of ties in perfectly with what's being said. He wasn't a good worker. He was just tagging along kind of as a friend that needed a little money from one other guy. But he was obviously useless. And the other guy that brought him was a little embarrassed by his presence. But it just brought this whole concept into real focus. This useless man had no honor. And I didn't even want to look at him. You know, and I felt this going on in me. Like here was a human flesh that I had no use for. He was in the way. He didn't belong here, really. I had plenty of good workers, and here's a useless personage.
Do you know some of the personages?
And I felt myself saying, golly, you know, this is weird to think this way about this guy and have no truck with him, nor even want to. But it was this whole thing. He was without a name because he had no real value.
Carlos's friend?
It was a friend of Joel's that needed some work. So Joel said, well, come on, we've got something going on over here. So he kind of drug him along. And then Joel, kind of when the guy wasn't around, was laughing and said, he don't know how to do nothing. He can't work or anything. You know, and he was right, but it was like, that defines men's values.
But stop them and think. If we can take the appellation of homeless off, stop and think, because a lot of people would become homeless by profession in their home, and then we get all kinds of homeless pimps that make a living off the homeless. But for those like a Ramona, or like a Cameron, or even like Russell and Jim, and Vic, they have no name.
Yeah, you know, I've been sitting here, and a lot of things have been rolling around in my head, but, like, there was a time when someone's name, you know, it was like, William, son of so-and-so, the such-and-such. It conveyed an entire constellation of information that put that person in the enumerator.
It still does.
Place in the sort.
No.
Now it's just what's your name and what do you do, or where do you come from, and it's how you're dressed, and it's all this, all that, those things. But the idea that when you taught on language, that all language is the naming of things. And what is the naming of things? It's a collection of noises, that call to mind an agreed upon image. So,
conspiracy.
Yeah, and it's the conspiracy to take that, in this case, person, and put them into.
Yeah, but it's not even that person. It's that name of a person that's once removed. And then it's like, and it's what everybody, it's what everybody's brought into the equation. So all of a sudden you have power in sorcery.
Yeah. It's like, what are you called by?
Yeah.
And is it up here that you're called by, or down here, or somewhere?
If I go to Minnesota, southern Minnesota, and I haven't been there for many years, but I'm sure it's the same. When the last time I was there was my father's funeral. Nobody recognized me. Nobody knew me. But as long as my name was Anthony in that area, I mean, I'm treated with supreme respect. If I go to Arizona now, most people don't remember me. Everybody, every once in a while, somebody like Rumpel tells weird stories about me. But fundamentally, if I go there, I'm Edna's boy.
That's what you call
the name of Edna.
By the name of Edna. That's what I'm called in that environment. Because my mother... And it's an entrance. I mean, there's nowhere in that town or in that community that I can't go because of Edna.
Right. If you needed anything, that's what you would use.
Well, the point of it's like, why does that? The reason if I'm in Minnesota, I'm in the name of Anthony is because. There's a history of weight of something behind it that causes that to have meaning. Anthony is Jack. In fact, the word Anthony is, if anybody remembers me, it's by my last name in Wickenburg. And they don't want any part of Anthony. I mean, you know, I was run out of town. So in there, it's my mother's persona, Edna, has carried, and it has a whole weight of experience and history behind it. Now, we've all come and have all seen and have all touched some place in our lives, a family or a person or maybe your own families, by which there has been a whole history of a name that has caused you to have an automatic respect for that. It may be because of performance, it may be because of talent, it may be because of aristocracy, of old line aristocracy, it may be because of a million things. I mean, you remember, and your spiritual condition is defined by what you're impressed by. I mean, you know, if you're impressed by, hallelujah, I had a date with Miss Firecracker of DeSoto, Texas. Well, you know, I mean, and that's somebody's identity. They truly believe that's a name. Well, their spirit, that means, you understand? Their spirit, that's they're not poor and needy just because they're from a little town and stupid. They are prideful, and the degree of their non-spirituality is a function of what they have placed the importance of a name on. A person... that requires the only one that he's impressed with as whatsoever is someone that has 1,000 years of history behind the name and is the czar of somebody. I mean, they're far nearer to God because of the recognition of perception of vanity than that the putz that was from Podunk and got power from Miss Firecracker. Do you understand?
I didn't understand the part about the guy with 1,000 years.
Oh no! If I had met the Tsar family of Tsar Nicholas, the Romanovs, and they have years and years of history of power and breeding and culture and. You know, I probably still wouldn't give a shit about it, but I used to would. And my point is, I could recognize that everything else in the universe, like I wouldn't give a shit about meeting Nolan Ryan or Roger Staubach or Tom Landry or the president or
or movie stars. I mean, that's just meaningless. I would get nothing from being near their name or near their presence. It would be meaningless. What I'm saying is, your level of spiritual understanding is directly related to, it's a direct proportion to the level of what you get pleasure from or get identity from about the name. And that's kind of sad.
It's interesting then when you think of the name of Jesus, much of what we would have attributed to the power of that name had come through false information. So even our recognition or power from there is back to flesh.
That's right.
Well, Jesus after the flesh.
Yeah.
It was that name after the flesh.
Or Thomas after the flesh.
The prophets, you know, even King David, it's a pretty heavy-duty name.
It's pretty heavy-duty.
Time, you know, but the prophets go in, you know.
Yeah.
Have respect unto that name. They have respect unto God's name to deliver the message.
Deliver the message without fear. Without.
From what name do you perceive life?
And life. I mean, for instance, bottom line, when you get right down to it, all that the human condition is capable of perceiving as life is something that excites them.
Yeah.
Something to get the juices flowing.
Is it being lowly and meek and scorned and empty? And
no. That's why this name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. It's not talking about this silly religious horseshit. To be in the name of Christ is to have this. It's fundamentally, the more I dwell on it, the more I see and search it out, it's to a great extent, it means to be hidden.
Let's think of that, the two examples that I remember from the New Testament are, you know, if you give a cup of cold water in a prophet's name or whatever, but then about the centurion that, you know, and Christ had no greater faith. I mean, he was in Christ's name at that point. And the thing was done. There is something significant about.
Yeah, it's almost an arrogance to be in the name of Christ.
Yeah, I mean, he saw something that nobody, even in Israel, had ever
seen.
He was
in the name of God.
Yeah.
The biggest name he could have.
It's like he truly didn't have his own name, and so he could see.
Yeah.
There was something about authority that was tied in with it, because he said he was the man under authority. Then he was under that authority, and there's
to be in the name of Christ is to be under that kind of authority that knows that.
It's like one of the processes of getting into that name is to recognize and repent of all these other places you see that you have gained your identity from.
Yeah.
Or that you respect other men's persons.
Yeah. I'm reminded of the cliche, Jesus is what's left when everything else is gone. If all the other names and all the other, therefore all the other sources of life are gone, then that would be
what's left.
Yeah.
So a neat thing, you know, thinking about Cameron, somebody was asking me today, I don't remember who it was, like, you know, about Cameron's background and, you know, where he's been and what he's done. And I realized I don't know anything about that, you know. I mean, there's, you know, I haven't grilled him on it. I haven't, you know, he's volunteered little things here and there. But I mean, that's really what's so neat about Cameron is that he's not, you know, I mean, he's reached the end of his own name or something. You know, there's some, you know, some sense of.
That's been the weird part, because I've had the hardest time remembering his name this past week. It's like I'll be standing there and looking at him and looking at him, and I just.
Man, I know it starts with EC.
Blinking.
Right.
Well, what is that thing when it says, you know, if you give a cup of water in a prophet's name, you receive a prophet's reward, and it goes on. And what is the. you know, the it's significance the level of that.
Because
it's the level of understanding.
Yeah, it's the young man. The prophet point is the young man apprehension. It's first the young man apprehension. I mean, it's the child, the adolescent, the young man, the father. It goes the opposite. It's the father. I mean, it's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher. I mean, it's so they're related but opposite.
I know that phenomena works. I mean, it is in effect up and down this block. You know, it's interesting. You know, and I think rather than at different times, it's been you know, ridiculed. And I think it's probably a lack of, you know, real understanding of. I mean, certainly I probably ridiculed it. I know I've ridiculed it, and it's been a lack of understanding of what it portends. You know, it's just, not something to be.
It's just a very brief step on the road to spiritual fatherhood. That's all. That's all it's seen as. It can't be seen as anything that's. If it's seen as a stopping place, then it's ridiculous.
Well, I think it's been regarded in many cases as, you know, somebody if doing Oli's name and somebody is demeaned for doing that.
Yeah.
And as opposed to, you know, some other, you know, an enlightening or something.
Well,
and
then, there is.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. But the thing that's happened. And there's an interesting thing that's happened. It's not my name. It's us.
Yeah.
Because and we've seen it happen, and it's interesting to watch. How long? Four years and a few months ago, we met for the first time. Not him, but we met for the first time. Daryl's dad.
Yeah.
At Daryl and September's wedding, and Daryl's. The memorable, I mean, he was just sullen, and there was an actor almost despising us, and you could see it in his face. You know, his famous quote was that, "Oh, Anthony, he don't show me shit," and it was with a sullenness. And I'm sure that he's a warm, gracious man, and was then, but he was mistrustful. But by the act of abiding, then in his mind, our name has gained something, and we're not sure yet what, but it's been interesting to watch him melt since he's been here for the last two or three days. It's just, I mean, he's melting.
Mm-hmm.
He's having fun, he's enjoying himself, he's even talking to me, he's even smiled at me.
At dinner
with me tonight. But it's not because certainly anything we did, we're not anything different than we were then, but by the act of abiding, our name, without him knowing it, without us knowing it, our name has been transferred into the name of Christ, and therefore the name of the Father.
Coming in his name is really, it's acting in his stead. I mean, it's that which is seen of him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious not from any outward accoutrement, but rather from the heart.
Well, it's just, I want, the reason I'm bringing this up so much is I want you to really be aware and exhort in your Bible studies anyone that's acting in the name, I mean, of somebody else. You got it, like, I mean, the people that come to mind are obviously Rick, Tim. But exhort them to see that the names, the respecter of persons, the idea of receiving honor from men is a dead end street, and all it can do to the body of Christ is hurt us. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lie of what we believe.
Yeah.
It makes a lie of what we are. So I would beg of you to think on this, dwell on it, of what it means to be in the name of. And exhort that how can they believe if they receive honor from among men? Amen?
Amen.
Can we cut it short tonight?
Yeah.
Now let me announce one thing though.
I just want to say something. The thing that made me understand the most of what you said tonight was when you said it doesn't mean anything to me, Tom Landry and Staubach and whatever names, like names that have in this town been lifted high, mighty, and staunch, wonderful images of man.
Yeah. I was Staubach's agent. That's a good way to not to have any respect.
That level. But the idea to suddenly see it, that they are nothing more than anyone anywhere else other than this image that has been jacked up by a system.
And it's been jacked up by a conspiracy of an agreed to idolatry.
Right. And an idolatry that is enjoying with exuberance and enthusiasm.
Oh yeah, yeah. Worshipped with great I adore.
Right.
Ecstasy.
Yeah. Please give me some of the worship.
Okay.